This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Our guest today is Matt Anderson, the wildlife biologist for the Ozark St. Francis National Forest in Arkansas. Matt grew up in a rural area of the Boston Mountains in northwest Arkansas. He graduated from the University of Arkansas with a degree in anthropology, then worked for about 7 years on the coast of Oregon on salmon and steelhead recovery efforts, most of the time with a small nonprofit watershed association. He received a master's degree in fishery science at Oregon State University, studying desert trout migrations and the impacts of fish passage barriers. After grad school, he started with the U.S. Forest Service as a fisheries biologist, first on Mount Hood National Forest in Oregon, and then on the Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. Matt came to his current position on the Ozark St. Francis National Forest in 2016. Here, he served as the Forest Fish and Wildlife Biologist and Program Manager for the Fisheries and Wildlife Program. Having returned to Arkansas, Matt has, with the Forest Service, he's now with the Ozark St. Francis National Forest. So, Matt, why don't you just tell us, with the Forest Service, what have you been focusing on in the area where you're working?
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me. It's a broad and diverse job, with a title like fish and wildlife biologist. There's a lot of things to cover, both ecosystem condition. We focus a lot on threatened, endangered, and other at-risk species management, and just trying to integrate all of the programs that the Forest Service implements in their mission and trying to make sure that we're being good stewards of our fish and wildlife communities and their habitats.
So tell me, I think I've picked up the name Washita also connected with your job and then Ozark St. Francis. So tell me about those respective districts where you're working.
Okay, well, first I think, so it's the Washita. Named after the Washita Mountains, is a national forest just to the south of us, also in Arkansas and some in Oklahoma. And the range of my job is just the Ozark and St. Francis National Forests in Arkansas. And so the Ozarks to the north are located in northern Arkansas on the Ozark Plateau. And the St. Francis is a small national forest unit that's located close to Mississippi. So my job covers the Ozark and St. Francis national forests within Arkansas.
So you have a superintendent or a Forest Service official who's responsible for the Ozark St. Francis, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, Lori Wood is our forest supervisor and covers the area that the same area that I cover fish and wildlife for, and my job, a big part of my job, is to advise her on topics and matters related to fish and wildlife.
So tell me about the terrain, the rivers and the streams and mountains and so on.
The Ozark National Forest is on the Ozark Plateau, which is one of the oldest landforms in the continental United States. Because it's a plateau, and so it is relatively flat on top, but because it's so old, it's weathered for millennia, for 300 million years or so. And so it doesn't feel like a classic plateau. It almost feels like rolling hills on top. But when you walk off into the valleys, you'll find really steep hillsides, lots of bluffs, steep headwater streams that often are flowing over waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get down into often some pretty remote hollows and valleys, you're often in narrow forested valleys, some really remote feeling locations. That gradually opens up into some broader valleys that are a little, a mix of agriculture and forestry, and some beautiful rivers that are lower gradient and great places for canoeing and kayaking and that kind of activity.
Is the underlying...
It's a beautiful land. It's a really beautiful forested landscape.
Is the underlying rock all sedimentary, or are there some igneous intrusions?
Not much igneous here. Sandstone dominates the landscape, and it's a hard sandstone, and so, it, like I said, in many cases, you'll find bedrock and bluffs, boulder fields. We do have some pretty large areas that have limestone, and that lime, it's an old and exposed layer of limestone that has become a pretty complex karst landscape with sinkholes, lots of caves, streams flowing underground, and that kind of thing. So that old weathered geology makes for some really complex and unique habitats, and as well as beautiful places to visit and explore. The Ozarks are, I think of them kind of a land of hidden gems. You know, when you're on top of the plateau, there's a little more development in agriculture. There's roads, but oftentimes you can go off into the valleys and find a wilderness with lots of unique features and cool places to explore.
What's the type of forestation?
So we've got kind of a gradient of pine and hardwood forests. So the southern part of the Ozarks is predominantly pine. There's pine covers about 30% of the national forest. Mostly shortleaf pine is our native pine, and one that is a really unique ecosystem. And then hardwood stands that consist mostly of red and white oak, hickory, that covers about 65% of our land base, some type of mixed hardwood. Within those broad categories, there are a lot of other diverse communities that are within our forested types. You'll find everything from kind of dry, rocky ridges with short oak trees, to more moist forests on north slopes with deeper soil deposits, and you'll find species like beech and maple, maybe umbrella magnolia. We've got some areas within the forest that are, we call them glade complexes, glades that are thin soils on rocky areas, and they often act more like grasslands or savannas, kind of a unique prairie-like habitat in what is otherwise a highly forested landscape. So that creates some really unique habitats.
Your biography said you're involved in restoration of some of those ecosystems.
Yes. I work primarily as a program manager. We've got biologists on each of the districts, and they each have projects that are related to ecosystem restoration. So in many cases, we've had long periods of fire suppression. So if you take, for example, the glades that I just mentioned, in those areas, those were areas that were maintained by periodic fires. And so following fire suppression, eastern red cedar predominantly, but also other trees encroached in those glades and converted them in some cases to a different habitat type. And so these kind of prairie islands in the forest in many cases were diminished or lost entirely. And so by going back in and removing some of the cedar, reintroducing fire, we really see a pretty inspiring recovery of a lot of the botanical species, rare botanical species, and a lot of the wildlife that require that kind of open habitat, quail, sparrows, species like this.
Uh-huh.
Eastern collared lizard, which is a common species in the desert southwest, but it also finds home in some of these smaller glade complexes that are almost little deserts in within the forest.
Is there any commercial timber harvesting that goes on in the forest?
Yes, there is. We've got an active commercial timber program on the forest. Typically on the Ozark San Francisco, we treat between a half and 1% of the forest acres per year with some combination of timber treatment that could include an intermediate thinning. And the intention there is to open up stands, increase the health and growth of the remaining trees. We, on a smaller proportion of the lands, we'll do regeneration harvest. We've got our forest plan sets goals to have a matrix of stand age diversity across our landscape. The timber program here really works very closely with the wildlife program, and it's really important in helping provide disturbances that create forest structural diversity for our wildlife habitats. The forest needs an adequate level of early successional habitats kind of distributed across the forest. We have a landscape that had a lot of disturbance about 120 years ago, and following that European settlement expanded here, fire suppression became very common here, and so we've had a lot of changes to our ecosystem over the last 100 years, and so we're trying to find ways to, managing within areas that we can do burn blocks and vegetation treatments to make sure that we're representing all the habitats that were once common when disturbance could happen at a different scale across our landscape.
Well, we're getting hotter summers. Have you had any recent fall wildfires?
Yeah, we have had wildfires, nothing on the scale that you're probably used to in Montana. we were fairly lucky this summer. We did have a hot, very dry period of this summer. We did get some starts, but fortunately here we've been able to establish. I mentioned using fire for habitat management. We also maintain a pretty robust prescribed fire program right now that helps us with our fuels management. And so we've got a pretty good matrix of prescribed burning blocks so that when we do get wildfires, the landscape is set up to that, to where we can contain them and the landscape doesn't have an abundance of fuels that is ready to lead to crowning and large scale wildfires that are more damaging to the ecosystem.
So, talk about the mammals or the wildlife that is found in the forest. You work on bats, bat project, right?
Yeah. Okay. So. More broadly, the thing that really sticks out about wildlife in the Ozarks is our diversity. for mammals, we've got, you know, squirrels, flying squirrels, chipmunks, skunks, including the lesser common spotted skunk. Black bear are becoming common, but, you know, back in the 1970s, black bear were almost gone from the landscape in Arkansas. And the State Wildlife Commission worked to restore black bear with a number of other federal and private partners.
Have they been hunted out?
They now we've got a population that we really need to hunt them to keep them at a sustainable level, given all of our other human developments.
Uh-huh.
So yes, hunting is part of the management for black bear for sure. Coyote, elk, deer, river otter, beaver. It's really a wildlife rich community. Occasional mountain lion, although we don't have an established population here. We often get strays from elsewhere. You mentioned bats, and we have 14 species of bats on the forest, and the Ozark is very important, both for the summer habitat. There's a number of forest-dwelling bat species that utilize the Ozark, as well as, I mentioned the caves and karst, so we've got a lot of winter hibernacula for bat species.
Are there some endangered species that you're nurturing?
Yes, and specifically, you mentioned bats being so important here. There are a number of species that have been hit pretty hard over the last decade by white nose syndrome, and some of those species we have on this forest, and we've seen some pretty dramatic declines because of that disease. Northern long-eared bat, tricolored bat, and Indiana bat are all found on the forest and have suffered some levels of decline from white nose syndrome. We've got gray bats, which have a couple of very significant hibernation caves in the forest, and that's a species that has been making a fairly remarkable recovery. They were listed in the 70s, and in the interceding years, there's been a lot of work to protect their caves. They're in caves both in the winter, their hibernacula, and also in the summer. And so there's been a lot of work to figure out what caves they use and figure out how to protect those from disturbance. And that's a species that's I think is in the process of making a pretty remarkable recovery. So there's a positive story in there as well. But white nose syndrome has really hit our bat populations hard, and we're facing, we've got endangered listed species, and we're facing more listings in the next year or two.
What kind of birds do you have?
We have different migratory species through the year. We have a lot of neotropical migrants that breed here in the summertime. Diverse assemblages, including warblers, vireos, and others, chats, yellow-billed cuckoo, wood thrush. A summer morning in the Ozark has a pretty impressive dawn chorus, and we do quite a bit of monitoring for our birds. They're a good indicator for ecosystem management because they're very responsive to habitat changes. So where we have where we do management actions that create maybe more open stand conditions, often we'll see a little bit of a change in our bird species assemblage. So it's a good indicator of how our habitat management is affecting their populations. In the winter, we have a totally different group. In many cases, some residents, but many shift. We have lots of sparrows, juncos, goldfinches. We also have a lot of overwintering bald eagles and golden eagles as well that overwinter in the area. So,
how about woodpeckers?
Yes, we've got abundant woodpeckers, pileated woodpeckers, red-headed woodpeckers, downy and hairy woodpeckers, yellow-breasted sapsuckers. So, yeah, and a lot of our woodpeckers are resident, are here year-round. And so our forest has an abundant supply of hardwood snags and pine snags that really support woodpeckers very well.
Do you work with any tribal groups, any indigenous people?
We do. The forest consults with all the tribes that have a history and interest in the lands that we manage here. We're stewards of their ancestral lands. And several Native American tribes have an extensive history and strong ties to the Ozarks, the Osage, Cherokee, Caddo, and Quapaw. And, much of what is the land that is now the Ozark National Forest was seasonal hunting and gathering lands for those tribes. They used fire to keep areas of open forest and maintain beneficial plant and tree communities for wildlife. Long histories, as well as, several of these tribes, their forest removal routes were through the Ozarks, and so that creates some more recent historical tribal ties.
Is any part of the forest designated as wilderness?
Yes, we've got five designated wilderness areas, the Upper Buffalo, Hurricane Creek, Richland Creek, East Fork, and the Leatherwood Wilderness. These are blocks of about 10 to 15,000 acres or so in size. And I would say, particularly as you probably often cover areas out west, our eastern wilderness areas, I would say, are a little bit different in nature than what you're used to in the west, where, vast areas, maybe dominated by mountain peaks with little trace of human settlement and development. When you visit our wilderness areas, you may be more likely to be reminded of the history of the land with evidence of settlers' cabins, old roads, rock walls that were used for small agricultural developments,
uh-huh,
which are now reclaimed by the forest. And so, within the eastern U.S., these are uniquely remote areas and a place to really enjoy the solitude of nature. But it is a different scale than out west. That said, a lot of our wildernesses are connected to a large stream or river,
mm-hmm,
and they typically encompass a portion of a watershed and kind of stretch from ridgetop to ridgetop and have some really beautiful streams and waterways in the area. So,
you're working on a number of projects, I gather. One is Blanchard Springs Caverns. Tell about that.
Yeah, so Blanchard is a really interesting site. It's the only show cave in the National Forest System, and so this is an area. This is a cave that has just really incredible formations that have formed over time. A lot of history in that cave. The current project, the cave was developed in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and so a lot of the infrastructure is aged, and so there are there's a need to redo that to protect the resources of the cave, improve the lighting system so there's less growth of algae, that kind of thing, improve the visitor center. So it's really a unique site and a great opportunity for people to get underground and see the beauty of our karst ecosystems. Unfortunately, our other caves on the forest are currently closed. I mentioned white nose syndrome and the issues we've been having with bats.
Right.
And so in order to stop the spread of white nose syndrome, the other caves are closed. So this is an opportunity for people to understand the value and of conserving these karst ecosystems.
And what is the Ford Project?
Ford Project is a watershed-based project that includes a lot of different elements. Road and transportation management, vegetation management is one of the key things. And I've mentioned some of the purposes that we do, the forestry and other vegetation management projects. And Ford deals with a lot of those issues. Potentially, it has some road closures, road maintenance, and other activities that the forest needs to cover environmental assessment on before we implement those management activities.
And you have a project called Sunset Savage, which apparently is fueled by the tornado kill of trees.
Yeah, we get tornadoes here, which they're scary, but they're an important ecosystem disturbance within the forest to create some of that early successional habitat. But when it hits an area and creates so much dead and down, oftentimes those areas will grow over and be largely impenetrable. And so it's an opportunity for us to get wood products and to reset that area of the forest. And so that's one where we do a small-scale salvage of those trees.
What kind of trees were killed in that tornado area?
I'm not familiar with that particular salvage operation. You have to remember we've got 1.2 million acres of the forest, and so for a 22-acre salvage, at the scale that I'm working,
yeah,
I'm not familiar with that piece of ground.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if you went to the district and talked to the timber management folks and the wildlife folks, they would know. But I can't tell you specifically what trees are involved there.
Well, Matt, we are almost out of time, but this has been very informative, and I appreciate it. So thank you very much for talking with us today. Our guest today has been Matt Anderson, wildlife biologist for the Ozarks St. Francis National Forest down in Arkansas. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to js-wilderness.com and see additional features of our website. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Jay Schell.